Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Center Shit Kickers podcast. I'm your basic podcast host coming to you from his closet. Yeah, sorry, it's been a while. That being said, though, I have not been completely absent. If you want to go check out the Ground Level podcast where Sean and I get together and hash things out, you can find that anywhere podcasts are played. Spotify, Rumble, Apple, all those good places. So yeah, I haven't been completely out of the loop, but it's been a while since I've cried out to you guys from my dark little sanctuary, and I felt like it was time to do that again, not because of any one, well, I'm going to try to stick to a particular issue, but there's so much going on, so much I haven't commented on, I guess, not that anyone's clamoring for that, but I want to try to focus on something a little more philosophical. Some knuckle dragger wants to talk to you about philosophy. Always intriguing. We're the United States, and I feel like if we're ever going to pull out of the doldrums, the listlessness, the mismanagement of where our country is going, united is going to have to be the word that guides us out of that. And so I guess I'm just going to play around with that idea. Like, what's it actually going to take right now when it seems like the country is as divided as it's ever been? When people blithely talk about a national divorce or civil war, or brewing civil war, how am I going to somehow maintain any sort of hope that we can put those, that stupidity aside, frankly, because it is absolute stupidity, and somehow find a way to be united about something to actually push this country forward and bring more and more people into a hopeful place where they can believe in this country again and believe in our government, believe in the institutions. Like, what, I mean, it's such a monstrous undertaking. Where to even begin? Well, I'm going to begin with one of the elephants in the room, one of the major storylines that happened since I've been gone. Since you've been gone. Yeah, I'm sorry. I hurt your ears with that. Charlie Kirk's assassination. Talk about a point that we can all come together around, right? I'm bringing it up, well, for two reasons. One, I know I made a argument that it was understandable why Brian Thompson was shot by Luigi Mangione. I didn't condone it, but I said I could understand. I can understand because of the pain and devastation of all the healthcare nonsense, the absolute atrocity that is our healthcare system right now in this country, which, by the way, Sean and I just talked about. If you want to go over to the Ground Level and see us sort of debate that or discuss the realities of that situation. And it does. I haven't changed my mind on that. I think Luigi Mangione deserves all the justice that's coming his way. He broke the law. He murdered a man. But there's something sick about a system where a guy can earn millions of dollars a year, line the pockets of stockholders in his company, essentially by denying people health care, the thing that they pay to get. He's saying, no, you don't get it. I don't know how to describe that, like what that is. Theft, I guess, comes readily to mind, but it's an abomination when people need the health care that they're trying to pay for, and you're going to tell them, no, it's not covered because why? Because whatever reasons an algorithm told us. That, to me, is a crime. So two wrongs don't make a right. Luigi Mangione doesn't get to get off the hook because he's got sweet abs and pecs. And a nice smile. You don't get to get away with murder for that. I know there's probably going to be a documentary on him and all his fangirls or fanboys, for that matter, who are fawning over this murderer. But at the same time, I looked at that and I was like, I get it, though. There's such angst and anger and pain, and someone decided to lash out. It's not right, but it happened. And we turned to Charlie Kirk. Another person who causes angst and pain. Now, granted, maybe he's not entirely worthy of it. I was not the big Charlie Kirk guy. I'd seen him debates. I saw Breonna Joy Gray annihilate him in a debate, and he was essentially ratioed in his own YouTube video by people saying that he was not prepared for that debate with a very intelligent woman who ran him ragged. A great debate if you want to listen to it, because he was debating college students who don't really understand their own ideology and thought process is very different than debating the person who was, what did she do for Bernie Sanders? He was his press secretary, something to do with the media, or she wasn't a campaign strategist, I'm sure. But anyway, she was involved in a large degree in the Bernie Sanders campaign in 2016, I believe it was. Anyway, she destroyed him in that debate. And, you know, you're making your own opinion, but I concur, and most of the comments in YouTube concur, so you're wrong. Just kidding. Yeah, but go watch it. It's worthwhile. But, you know, you see the most virulent clips of Charlie Kirk, you know, saying things out of context, and even in context, they're still not great things to be saying. But then again, you know, you can't discount the grander context of we're living in a weird internet time where saying the most wild shit gets you the most attention. And that's most of what people are looking for when they get in front of a microphone or in front of a camera. They're looking to say wild shit because they hope it goes viral. They hope they pray that's millions of views. I could retire. You know, they're just looking for that thing. Even if it's just a 15 minutes of fame. Well, now Charlie Kirk clearly was getting 15 years of fame. I mean, he literally had influence all the way up to the White House and Donald Trump and everyone around Donald Trump. Charlie Kirk was a mover and a player to that level. So when he says wild shit, you kind of go, did he need to say that? No. Is that a real opinion he had? I don't know. Let's examine it. I'm not going to go through and play some of Charlie Kirk's worst moments in front of the camera, but he had plenty, and he had plenty in this age of TikTok 15 second clips where if someone heard that, it's easy to say this guy is a horrible racist. Even if you don't have a wild lefty ideology, you can go, oh shit, you're walking a line there, pal. I mean, that's either you are a racist or this is out of context, but most people don't think that far. It's immediately racist reflex. And you know what? Like I said, you walk that line. I don't know why you would want to. I don't know why you need to say. I think we're captured in that moment where you feel like you have to be controversial. I think that's tired. I think it's tired to be that controversial just for views, just to throw red meat to, which is weird because if you knew that there were like KKK/Nazi members, white supremacists in your audience, why would you want to throw them red meat? So, I mean, you can ask a lot of questions about Charlie Kirk. I happen to know, or I've been told or been shown and seen evidence of that he had plenty of black people who followed him. So either what he was saying wasn't all that controversial to them, or they understood where he was coming from. And the one thing I will say about this real quick, do I think he was a virulent racist white supremacist? No, probably not. I would have a debate with him about these things and the things that he said, but you could always couch them in a slap to the left. That's the thing. He was slapping back. He was not a unifying figure because he was all about hitting the other side. That to me is awesome for you and your team. But my team is America. And I honestly feel like the worst part about Charlie Kirk is he was leaving behind a lot of Americans because he didn't want them. He wanted them as long as they towed his line, as long as they found Jesus or, you know, voted for Trump, or, you know, they just started glomming on to his ideology and the way he views reality. If they were to do that and have some awakening, then he would probably welcome them with open arms, no matter their color. I don't think it had anything to do with the color of their skin, which makes total sense if you're just trying to bolster the ranks of your team. And that team atmosphere that Charlie Kirk had was the main reasons I didn't really give him the time of day. It was clear what he was about. He was all about connecting to the youth, or creating videos and clips on the internet that people can rally around, and which also led him to say some of the most outlandish things that he said, because those become viral, those draw people in. And then, granted, it's like you might hear him say some wild shit, and then you watch a couple of his videos, oh, he says some reasonable things too. That's the strength of what Charlie Kirk was. He was there to build a young conservative movement, a young religious conservative movement. You can say that's good. You can say that's bad. The only reason I didn't care for it or didn't like, okay, that's fine. But that's not all of what America is. It will never be all of what America is. And therefore, you're just creating a block or constituency or a coalition of people who are like you, who have ideological uniformity, which gives you political power, by the way, which is what also what he's looking for. And therefore, okay, that's fine. You can be your block, but you're not connecting to all Americans. At that point, you become a divider. There was no finding common ground with the people that he debated. It was embarrassing them. It was destroying them. It was dismissing them. Therefore, you get when he's literally rubbing shoulders with Donald Trump and other people, the most powerful people in this country, and then he's rallying the troops around that loyalty and stuff to the people, the most hated individual from one side, Donald Trump, it's going to create, much like Luigi Mangione did with Brian Thompson, it's going to create somebody who looked, I have to do something about this. Or it's just, I mean, that's the thing is, we know so little about motivations and everything else around the guy who killed Charlie Kirk. I can't even think of his name off the top of my head. Tyler Robinson. We know nothing about him other than he had a relationship with his roommate who was in the rainbow community. That's all we know. We haven't seen anything else. And granted, we're still early in the going here, but it's been a couple weeks now. Feel like we'd know more at this point, but we don't. Either way, it's going to inspire the hatred. I want leaders, individuals, folks on the internet, podcasters, politicians, God forbid, who are actually trying to bring people together. Another example of an anti-unifying figure right now is Gavin Newsom. He's gotten all this plaudits in recent days, weeks, because he's punching back. He's fighting Donald Trump. You know, he regularly calls Donald Trump that son of a bitch. Okay, cool. You can swear and you can be cool and hip and you know, your slick back hair and your Ken doll from California. Do you really think what is that going to do to the other team, right? Are you unifying them or are you just pushing them away and dismissing them? Because when you call their leader, that's what he is. It's a little bit cultish, but that's what he is. When you call their leader a son of a bitch, what do you think the reaction to that's going to be? Are they going to listen to anything else you have to say? And granted, he's being sillier because they're not going to check into his clips. Gavin Newsom's already on the outskis. Like, they don't care if he says anything reasonable after that. They don't want to listen to you. And even centrist independents like myself will listen to that and go, man, you're not getting it. It's not about turning up the temperature. There's no uniting over a flame. No one's putting their hand together. You're not going to get the Predator Arnold Schwarzenegger and Carl Weathers handshake there over a bonfire. And they're just throwing logs on constantly. They can't help themselves. They want to be that guy. They want to be the leader of their team. And dude, the team is the fucking country. Wake up. Wake the fuck up. But they're not. They're not waking up. And so how do we bridge this gap? This is the reason I'm bringing up Charlie Kirk to begin with. One, it was a major news story. Two, he is not the unifying figure we want him to. He's unifying for the people who are already susceptible to what he's saying, who already have conservative leanings, who are already religious. That's fine. But you're going to have to find a way to communicate with the other side. And calling people sons of bitches and all that and fighting, that's the thing, is they want Democrats to fight. I keep hearing this in the media. They just want to see some fight. Is that really healthy for the country? And that's the thing, is they go, well, yeah, People who are dyed-in-the-wool Democrats or Republicans said, we have to fight. We got to defeat the other side. Defeat the other side. Really? You got to defeat the other side. So this, all this talk about national divorce or a civil war isn't all that crazy. It's not hyperbole then. Because if you're looking to defeat the other side, you've drawn lines that cannot be crossed, where the other side, that's where they're at. They're over there, and we must defeat them. We're already in a conflict. Now, right now, the conflict is mainly words and rhetoric and things along that line. But we've already had Charlie Kirk assassinated. We've already had Donald Trump get shot at twice. We've had Democratic representatives, I believe it was in Minnesota, one getting assassinated along with her husband, and someone else was on the target list. We've had that guy in the first Trump administration going around trying to put bombs on people. I can't remember his name, but he was driving some van around Florida, I think. We've had a lot of political violence lately in this country. And if that's not the brewings of conflict and civil war, what's next? Granted, I hope none of this happens, but I can think of a few political individuals on both the left and the right where someone might take a pot shot, and then we're going to have some serious problems. We're already moving in that direction. We're faced with this problem now. The issue isn't to... Victory is not what we should be looking for. If you have... We got to defeat the other side. If that's your mindset, I really think you need to take a look in the mirror and think about what that would lead to. Could you imagine an American Civil War right now in 2025, 2026, or 2027 in the very near future, whatever, in the modern age, what that would look like? The downfall, the gift you would be giving to places like, granted, I don't have strong feelings about China, but they could do whatever the hell they wanted while we're cutting our heads off over here. Could you think of any more calamitous downfall to the American empire, which could do such good if it could pull its head out of its butt? Then a civil war. Like, what are we talking about? This is our main focus? Defeating other Americans. Are we ready to just wrap up democracy and say, yeah, it doesn't work? The Greeks, it was a nice idea, and maybe it could work at a local level, a small scale, but as far as a nation state, democracy will not work. And you can get into whether they want it to work or not. I have my conspiracy theories about the deep state and oligarchs and all of this stuff where they don't think about us as important or as individuals or anything else. We're just a block that's supposed to provide them with power. And we do. We continually do. Trump is not a solution to that. Nobody that I can see on the horizon is a solution to these things. Not even Bernie Sanders. As much as I think Bernie Sanders is pointing us in the right direction, I don't see it as far as a solution to the problem, because once again, he's on a side. Where are the Martin Luther Kings right now to unite people? Where are the unifying things that can unite us? And that brings me to what I'm trying to steer this towards hope. Because right now I feel like I'm just telling you a civil war is inevitable at this point. At some point, this is going to break. We have to disrupt the path we're on. And the only thing that can do that, oddly enough, are the situations that we're being confronted with. War in Venezuela. Now, granted, I'm super happy. In my last podcast, I had to eat some crow, and the war with Iran didn't happen. Is that still completely off the table? No. Is a war with China off the table? No. It doesn't appear likely at this moment, but you never know. But here we are doing more regime change actions in Venezuela. People are tired of that. The healthcare system, everyone's tired of it. We have premiums about to skyrocket here in the next couple months. Unless something changes, which I really don't see Congress doing anything about it. We have the affordability crisis in general around the country. Now, guys like Zoran Mamdani, a controversial figure running for New York mayor, you can say that, he's another side person, but at the same time, he's trying to provide for the people underneath him what statesmen should actually do. But because he's had some controversial tweets in the past or something, how's that any different than Charlie Kirk, by the way? But because he's said some controversial things or is breaking the mold on how the things are supposed to work, who cares? Break the mold. Things aren't working unless you're completely unaware or you're just sitting on Easy Street already, things are hard. That's not breaking news for anyone who's listening to this podcast. It's difficult out there. It's difficult out there for someone in their middle age, let alone the prospects for a younger person. Not bright. That's the America we want to leave people. We want to keep continuing on the path of failure that's been laid out for us by previous generations. Sorry, boomers, but it's true. I mean, you keep eating your cake and you're not giving any to us. A little French Revolution allusion there. So what are we supposed to do with this? My hope is that these larger issues start actually uniting people. The issues should be uniting people. The figures, we need to start, they need to be answerable to us immediately or be dismissed. And that includes Trump. Sorry, he did some things I like, or he's, you know, doing this or that on immigration. And, you know, I get it. It's ugly, but, you know, ultimately it's a problem that needs to be solved. But is he really solving it? Do we see an end in sight to regime change wars, to the immigration problem, to healthcare, to the affordability crisis, or any of these things even close to being solved with a Congress that's completely divided? No, they're not, because of these different ideologies. And that's fine. I don't want the adherents. I want independent thinkers. I want people who think outside the box. I want things to be difficult. But at the same time, if these elites are going to be worth their salt, shouldn't they have the ideas to help us out of these problems? Or are we just like, are we just cool with gridlock? That none of this stuff, I can't trust. I get it. I don't trust them either at all, as far as I can throw them. But at the same time, something has to move. You're going to lose the country, which benefits nobody. Nobody. Power, being a force of nature, like nature, abhors a vacuum. The power that lies in America will not just dissipate. Okay, it will go somewhere else. So if America, the empire falls, which I know a lot of crazy lefties want, they want this to all fall apart, like that's somehow a solution, like, and it won't cause more problems, more human tragedy, more terror, more horror, more deaths, more destruction. Wake the fuck up if you think that at all. But that power needs a hand to guide it. It needs to derive from the people, one. It doesn't need the iron fist of tyranny to guide it. That's what we're trying to avoid. That's what America's all about avoiding. That's what our whole modus operandi, supposedly, from the get-go, was to avoid more kingly rule. But that's easily on the table if you just get this to fall apart. You should not be fighting for that endeavor. If you are, it's a fool's errand. Did the French Revolution teach you nothing? What did it lead to? Napoleon. What do most revolutions lead to? Some sort of autocracy or authoritarian rule. Because out of that chaos, you need that iron hand to set things right. And then as soon as you think you need it, it strangles you. So that's idiotic. What we need is less of that. We don't need the Trumps. We don't need the next lefty Democratic Party Trump either, and Gavin Newsom. We don't need any of that. We need someone to unify this country. And the first thing you have to do to get to that point is open up your mind a little bit. A little bit. It is becoming independent. It is a high degree of skepticism, which most people claim that they have. But then as soon as I hear like their political stances or party affiliations, I'm like, really? Do you really have it? Or do you just want to say you have it because it's kind of cool? It's not easy. Okay? It's not easy to be independent. It really isn't. But I think that's more American than go, I can't stand those blue D's, or I can't stand those red R's. Fuck them. You've lost. You've lost the soul of this country if that's your stance. It will not last. This country is not based on a certain socioeconomic political structure. It's based on whatever we want it to be. It's a democracy. We get to vote. If we want a total communistic rule, like, okay, everything's getting nationalized and blah, blah, blah. That's the way we went. That's democracy. And if you're not cool with that, if you're not, you know, if that doesn't like jive with the way you stand, well, then fine, win elections and you can prevent it. But you don't get to go to war over it. Otherwise, you're not on board with what America is. It's the first word in the description of our country. The, well, okay, take out the article. United States of America. We sink or swim together. And the idea that you can just cast out all the blue hairs or red hat wearing Republicans. I'm sorry, man. You're not getting it. I know it sucks. I know sometimes it's a bitter pill. But you know what? The best thing you can do. I know this is going to. The thing is, I know it's such an ask for people. But you just got to get on board. Support it. It's about the country. It's not about your party. It's not even about you. If you're the rugged individualist, make it work. You figure out a way. Now, if the state comes cracking down on you because you're going your own direction, I'll side with you. Most Americans should. Because that level of independence and going your own way is the American dream, is part of who we are, is the soul of the country. At the same time, though, as a nation state, sometimes you just need to buck up and get with the program. I know. It's holding those two things at the same time. And that's really, I get it. It doesn't make sense. It's like, you can't do this or that. You can't be for the nation state if it goes against everything you stand for, but then also be American. I mean, I get it. It doesn't make sense, but that's the difficulty of the struggle we're in. And I honestly feel like, I don't know if it's how true it's true. I think it's just true. You're not going to get everything you want. And I feel like that's what people are looking for these days, whether it's in demagogues like Trump or political opportunists like Gavin Newsom. I keep bringing him up because he will be running for president. He can't not. He's ready. He's primed. He's the next in line. He's the new Hillary Clinton or Kamala Harris. He's done his time. He's the blah, blah, blah. I'm the governor of California, the third biggest economy in the world, or whatever stupid stat there is. I keep hearing it, but I can never remember. And so if our country is going to move in that direction, and you're going to be limited. That's the other thing. It's like, you're not going to get an Andrew Yang. You're not going to get another Bernie Sanders. You're not going to get someone outside the lane running for president, which, you know, it seems like we're constantly focused on these days instead of local politics, which is unfortunate. How many more of these elections can we live through when it's truly one side against the other? It's a civil war every presidential election, and either the country is happy or absolutely despondent and ready to rise up. You tell me if Gavin Newsom doesn't get elected or does get elected, excuse me, if Gavin Newsom gets elected, the MAGA base is going to somehow stand for it. It's some humility, people. It's deeply concerning. Two or three years ago, if you'd asked me about civil war, or civil strife or conflict, I mean, we're already living through it. But there's no one in sight who's willing to dial this back, who's making any sort of attempt to even unify people. And therefore, I want to get back to the issues that are unifying people, how hard it is to make it in this country. But the problem is when someone comes up with a solution that goes against the orthodox, i.e. lefty ideology, anti-capitalist to some degree, they just immediately dismiss them because they fear some other form of autocracy, which is like, we're already living under it. How much real option and choice do you have in how to buy a home or get health insurance or all these other things? It's, you're already living under the yoke. So this new yoke, the threat of some sort of government control, is somehow more concerning to you? Really? Why? I don't know. I mean, it's a concern for me too, I guess. I mean, I that's not American, not where I want to go either. But at the same time, You're already living under it. You're already living under an oligarchy. You're already living under complete monopolistic control of most industries, most services, most communication. So there needs to be some sort of breakup of this, some disruption in the way things are going. And no one's offering it. Nobody. Like, oh, I like Trump on immigration. Well, what's he really doing to solve all the problems? They're just swept under the rug. Meanwhile, let's go bomb some boats outside of Venezuela. I don't know, man. I'm going off the rails, but I don't, outside of these major issues, what's going to unite the common person in this country? I don't know. It's not any of our leaders. There's a complete void of real leadership. And so when you see it, and this, Sean's given me heat. Other people have given me heat about my favoritism towards, or my approval of guys like Mamdani in New York, because he's breaking a mold. At least you go, well, it's the same old lefty bullshit. That's fine. I get it. But that's, has that ever really been tried in America? Can the greatest country on the planet do things outside the box? Or are we just not capable? We've got to keep going the way it's been going. You know, I just want some shakeup. Let me see if it works. That's also localism too. If it doesn't work in New York, we can analyze and dissect why it didn't work. Let it happen. It's not nothing to you. Most people, if you're living in Indiana or Kansas or Virginia or Georgia or Washington State or Oregon, it doesn't matter. Let them vote. Let them figure it out. It's not some national referendum on things. And you literally have Trump saying, the president of the United States saying he won't allow a socialist to be elected in New York. What? That's supposed to come from the people. It's not your choice, Mr. President. You don't get to say those things. Once again, not a unifier. Nothing. No, like I said, no one in sight. No unifying presence at all in this country anymore. And I can't help but think it is a product of the internet. It is the product of our cell phones in our face all the time. It's all sensationalism. It's all nonsense all the time, where we are constantly inundated with pick a fight. Who's the fight? What do we got to say? The clip, the buzz, the blah, blah. It's it's infuriating because I just feel like you get trapped by it. My brother was just messaging me earlier today about this term zoocosis, which I wasn't familiar with, but it's more or less it's zoo animals growing depressed, having some sort of pattern of behavior, just because they don't have anywhere to go. They're trapped. And I honestly feel that's where most Americans are. We're starting to feel this zoocosis, where there's nothing to do. We literally go through our lives. The days blur by. There's no meaning. There's no connection. There's no sense of community, because if you live in Trump country or you live in Democrat country and you're of the opposite ideology, there's nowhere. What sense of community do you have? Because the moment someone learns that you might have liked Charlie Kirk video, they might feel the need to ostracize you. And so people cower in their corners. I'm a secret Charlie Kirk fan, so I'm going to not mention it. Or I'm a secret Obama fan and I voted for Kamala Harris, so I better not bring it up at church. Where are we at? There's not even the potential for unification at that point. Not at all. Why are we living in such tense times? Once again, things are fucking hard. Things are on a razor's edge. People live in credit card debt and medical debt, and they worry about their kids going off to war. They worry about civil war, world war. I mean, everything I've just been talking about. Good fucking Lord. Why does it have to be so contentious, so hard? And as soon as I would ask some dyed-in-the-wool left or right person, they'd go that side. They'd point. They just point. They don't have an answer. And they don't even want to even give you a better solution or a better choice. They go, well, just, toe the line. Where are you at on trans rights? Where are you at on Trump running for a third term? Where are you at on these things? Because if you're not on board with them, more than likely they're going to dismiss you. So why would you venture an opinion? Why would you give anything? No one's vulnerable enough. Everyone's set. And that's the thing, is become unset. Float a little bit. Talk to other people. Get out there and be vulnerable. It breaks my heart, man, because I feel like that's the only way to stave off the violence that's coming. And I don't mean, like I said, I'm hoping it never comes to more troops. I mean, it's the thing is, Trump sending fucking National Guard to cities and states, cutting off funding to blue. I mean, he's only exacerbating the problem. You got it's the thing that my brain's flooding. The gerrymandering nonsense in Texas, which is then turned around and done for Democrats in California by Newsom. They're just using the fight's already begun. That's the thing, is maybe it will never erupt into violence on the streets. Maybe, I hope. But the conflict's already erupted politically, rhetorically. Like, we're on the march in that direction. Wake up. Wake up. It is happening. Without some sort of transcendent leadership, it will happen. Some sort of devolution of our democracy and republic is on the horizon. I'm hoping it's years away, decades away. I hope it never happens. However, something needs to disrupt the process, the partisanship. Something needs to disrupt the path we're on, because it is the path we're on. I don't know, man. I hope these issues that I've mentioned and will not repeat are enough to start allowing people. That's the thing, is how desperate do they have to get where it allows them to look through the partisan veil that they're under? I don't want to live in that reality, but I feel like we're already on the cusp of it. And there's always that things will have to get worse before they get better. Yeah, maybe. But I mean, how much worse is it? How much worse does it have to get, I guess, is the question. Because it's bad now. It's hard. And it's only going to get harder. I mean, Sean and I are saving a conversation. Hopefully we're going to have it soon about AI. Deeply concerned about that. We're going to have Amazon laying off half a million, excuse me, is 500,000 jobs to replace them with robots. Are we all just going to be, the thing is, I feel like the right is pushing us into that UBI reality. What is everyone going to do? Just farm and be artists or something? Well, if you start just taking away all the jobs, I get it. Automation and those things. Yeah, there's other jobs could be created out of these things, but what jobs are they really going to be? I don't know. I don't see a new industry cropping up all of a sudden where, then again, I could be wrong. Like I said, the libertarians make a strong argument. I don't want to go back down the AI rabbit hole in this episode. I just feel like things are going to get harder. Things are going to get more divisive before someone steps up. Who's going to step up and start uniting this country? It's not going to be AOC. Bernie Sanders too old. Gavin Newsom's not going to do it. Trump's not going to do it. J.D. Vance isn't going to do it. Unless they have a complete about face. Like, I don't know what's going to come after Trump from the Republican side. And that's the thing, is I'm not writing that whole side off either. It's like, I'm just desperate for somebody to be a unifying voice. That's what our country is, united. And everyone, it seems, so willing to just forget it. Forget the unification part. We're just the states warring against each other all the time. We're two political parties warring against each other all the time. Meanwhile, China has a president for life. They have, like I said, there's plenty of problems with the Chinese system. However, they're more unified than we are right now. That should be the national embarrassment. I just saw something recently where China has 90% of their citizens have home ownership. Let that sink in for a second. They're literally building, granted, they've built entire cities where no one's living in them. But the idea that we can just do what we want as a nation and in excess, granted, it's a waste. It probably pollutes the environment. It's a waste of materials, all those things, all of the above. You can say it's dumb. But at the same time, with that national will. Now, once again, plenty of problems with the Chinese system. I don't want the iron hand of tyranny to impose a national will. But that's what's supposed to be special about this country, is we're supposed to be unified in our laws, in the goal and dream of what the country should be. Where has that unification gone wrong? Where did it fall apart? The Dulleses and the CIA and the oligarchy that's taken over and monopolized everything? I can point some blame in their direction. But it also comes down to us not being able to unify on Main Street. We have to unify here before we can ever take on Wall Street or the oligarchy or the military-industrial complex or these two idiotic parties who are willing to just manipulate us into oblivion. And that's where we're heading. I think I've said enough on this. All about the unification. But you know what you should do to feel some of that unification is call a family member, call a friend, go see a friend, go out for dinner, have some quality time with your significant other, your kids, your parents. It's got to start somewhere. And I would just say, take whatever small step you can to reach out to somebody and broach a difficult subject. Have a meaningful conversation and come in humble. Don't try to convince. Don't try to cut down. See where someone's coming from, for real. And have that conversation. And then plan on having more of those conversations with that individual that you felt comfortable enough to engage with on that level. Because start small and it spreads, I hope. And I get it. There's maybe 4 people on the planet who are listening to my voice right now, but do it. It's starting as small as it gets, but I'm asking you to do it, because what's coming down the road, or what could come, the possibility is only getting more possible. And that's been the whole thrust of this podcast, is I'm worried. I'm starting to worry, and I'm not a worrier. I'm not a conspiratorial guy. But I know history, and revolutions happen, empires fall, and usually what comes after is nothing good. And I can't imagine the impact on not only America and the people I care about, but the planet at large. You know what? I'm going to continue this. Hold on one second. So yeah, a little bonus content here for you. I was reminded of something that Sean actually sent me from one of my favorite comedians, stand-up comedians, George Carlin, where he made these comments, and I struggle with them because I'm a fan of Carlin, obviously. I just said that. But it goes against everything I just talked about in this podcast, about this unifying force that I feel like we must have. We must overcome our own individual preconceptions about reality and things like that to make this work. Because we can't all be misanthropes. We can't be hyper individuals who just feel like we're above and beyond this system. We rely on each other. Humanity has always relied on the community around itself. You're not alone. You're part of a tribe. The whole idea of a nation state is that this tribe is now massive with hundreds of millions of people in it. Now, you can say that might not work, and those are debates and discussions and philosophical. We could have that talk. I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe this is evidence that it can't work. But let me play Carlin's clip so you can hear him in his own words, and then we can discuss it afterwards.
I sort of gave up on the human race and gave up on the American dream and culture and nation, and decided that I didn't care about the outcome. And that gave me a lot of freedom from a kind of distant platform to be sort of amused, to watch the whole thing with a combination of wonder and pity. I try to put that into words.
Not caring about the outcome. What do you mean by that?
Not having an emotional stake in whether this experiment with human beings works. I really don't care. I love people as I meet them one by one. People are just wonderful as individuals. You see the whole universe in their eyes if you look carefully. But as soon as they begin to group, as soon as they begin to clot, when there are five of them or ten, or even groups as small as two, they begin to change. They sacrifice the beauty of the individual for the sake of the group. I decided it was all under the control of groups now, whether it's business, religion, political people, or what, and I would distance myself from wishing for a good outcome.
So you can probably immediately see why I don't jive with this, because clearly I do care about the outcome. The whole podcast is about caring about the outcome. George, in his celebrity, in his wealth, in his misanthropic attitude, didn't care, or was privileged enough to where he didn't feel tied to the outcomes of a nation or a party or anything else. He was just like, I've come to the place where it's not required for me to be invested in these things anymore. Now, granted, he did find a beautiful thing. You can find beauty in the individual. You can interact with people on a one-to-one basis. And that is a way, but to me, it's ultimately a way of shielding yourself. It's cutting yourself off. We need less of that. Right now, that's only fueling the path on the towards destruction that I think we're on. That is not a solution. For you, it might be. If you are in such a position where you don't need anybody, I can just cut you off. I don't have to think or worry about you. I'm not responsible for you. I don't need anything to do with you. I can just look at you as an individual. Now, that's once again, that's awesome to do. More power to you to be able to find the beauty in a human being across from you. However, human beings don't survive on their own. The idea that we've created a world or a reality where people can. Now, that's awesome. Once again, this is George Carlin, a celebrity, a rich celebrity saying that. Is some blue collar worker going to be able to say that? Can he just look at people as individuals and not care? Did the nation just spiral out of control because, oh, I'm sorry, I'm busy appreciating the beauty of individuals? It's the tribe. The tribe is what matters. And if you're not going to care about anyone in the tribe's not going to care about you. George Carlin didn't need a tribe. He had his people. He showed up. He had his fans and sycophants and friends and, you know, people who looked up to him and glommed onto him because he was a celebrity and wealthy and had influence. Is that necessarily what the bottom rung of people in this society can do? Can we just take the George Carlin approach and you think that's going to work for democracy? Absolutely not. It will not work. And it's, like I said, I'm not going to castigate you if you take that approach to some level, but you're going to need some investment. You're going to need to take that hard look in the mirror and go, okay, I'll just do this on my own. And that's the thing is, you're essentially preparing for the zombie apocalypse at that point. I give two fucks about what happens outside. I got my opinions. Fuck you if you disagree with them and come at me. And then when the world falls apart, I can just sit there and go, well, it wasn't my problem. I wasn't invested. Because I guess at that point, it's like, well, all the human misery, the pain, the death that will happen as a result of that, we all play a part. And the last thing I want to do is not play a part in a positive direction trying to prevent those things. If I was in George Carlin's shoes, maybe I would have said the same thing. I have sympathy towards that take. I really do. Because it's easy. It's easy to do. It's easy not to care. Because we only have so many people we can care about anyways, right? There's like 100 people your brain's capable of actually caring about. Outside of that, it becomes, well, I sort of generally care, but I don't know those people. That's your tribe. That 100 people. So I'm literally advocating against the idea that a nation state could work, I guess, with that statement. If it's only 100 people, how am I supposed to care about 300 million? I guess that eventually my 100 is going to somehow Venn diagram with your 100. Is because we're Americans? I mean, is that supposed to be enough? Is that idea powerful enough? I want it to be powerful enough. But right now that idea is crippled. And if you take George Carlin's approach, where it's only just the individual across from you, that idea is moribund, dead, gone, doesn't exist. If we're just individuals floating throughout the cosmos, intersecting with each other and appreciating our beauty at one point, then are we just a nation state of an individual? Every individual is its own entity. There is no America. There's no France. There's no Nigeria. There's no South Africa. There's no China. Anything. We're just one individual colliding with another individual, and that's it. Not going to work. It works for your personal philosophy, which I find interesting, and yeah, it has its merits, but ultimately, if you're going to make a nation state work, that's the last person you want involved. It's like, no, there needs to be some buy-in here. And I feel like we're pushing people in this direction towards this level, this way of thinking, because we're so broken. Why would you want to invest in this? I can't pay attention to all this. It's driving me crazy. I'm pissed off all the time. I'm depressed all the time. I can only think of that woman who's screaming after Trump got elected in his first term. If you're losing your mind over politics and the divisions therein or thereof, whatever the proper phrase is, this is obviously is more attractive. I just fuck it all. I just want to get out and worry about myself. And that's it. And then, but one day you're going to wake up and you go, wait a second, who are these troops marching through the street? Oh, it's your new leftist communist dictatorship that took over while you weren't paying attention, or that you were just appreciating individuality and not trying to mend fences or shake hands over that fence, or, reach out to your neighbor who disagrees with you, or just dismissing people because of their crazy lefty ideas or crazy conservative ideas. I mean, whatever those might be, it won't work. And this country will only fall apart faster if that's your outlook. That's my take. I mean, like I said, I love George Carlin, and I don't think he's entirely wrong for sanity purposes, but for nation state and unifying, for nation states to survive and unify, that's not the answer. Anyways, I just had to, I was closing it out, and I remembered that I was sent that clip, and I was just like, oh, and my immediate impulse is, yeah, I'm all about the individual. That seems right. But at the same time, this unifying idea has been spinning in my head for so long. It's like, but these things don't jive. And so which am I in favor of? I'm in favor of the unifying. That's coming together. That is not looking at individuals. That's dealing with people where they're at on an individual basis, but also the ideology that binds them to other things that you might not identify with, that you just have to get over. You have to start working towards that direction of finding common ground. The common ground, the issues that will unite us, that will transcend your individuality. And just like, hey, as a group, we're all getting fucked here. How do we get our power back? How do we solve this problem? And you're not going to be able to solve a problem on your own by looking at someone as an individual. It's going to take groups. It's going to take people. It's going to take power from the people to change things. Anyways, I guess that's, I don't want to be long-winded and keep going around and around in circles, but man, there's lots of things to grapple with. And I'm just going to sign off with that. I love you all. Good luck out there. Good luck. And stay tuned and stay apprised. And we'll talk about the next fucking crazy thing coming down the pike when I can get back in front of the mic. And I'm sure Sean and I will hash out something very soon on AI, hopefully. Until then, do all the things that help this channel. And I love y'all. Bye.